such a night. You're such a night. Sweet confusion under the moonlight.
Great stuff. Dr. John passing away, they said, right before dawn. It's towards the break of day. He passes away, actually, yesterday. But that's what they said, obviously, making a reference to lyrics. Dr. John, of course, out of New Orleans. Product. He couldn't be more New Orleans than Dr. John. Mm-hmm. The combination of sounds that guy was, I am sure, grew up listening to. Actually, I know. I'm lucky enough to interview him a couple times over the years. He talked about what it was like growing up, what he heard, and then putting it all together and making his own thing. And, tell you what, he was 77 when he passed away. And he had for a while of his life, he was not making good health choices. Mm. So for him to have come through that and then come back and live to 77, we're lucky to have him that long. So, yeah, he is. He's been kind of out of the public eye since late 2017 and passed away yesterday at age 77. Dr. John, we'll play a couple songs here this hour as we think about the music that made him so very cool.
Yeah, you know, I knew of his most popular, a couple of his most popular songs, mm-hmm. and I love listening to the guy, but sometimes, unfortunately, it takes an event like this to where now I'm like, I want to go check out the entire discography. I want to hear everything he does, because I want to say a unique sound, but like you said, he took so much from...
But it's unique because he put them all together.
Yeah, he put it together. And one guy you mentioned that he kind of based his sound off of, Professor Longhair, who mm-hmm. we hear so often around Mardi Gras season. We hear Dr. John mm-hmm. during Mardi Gras too, but just so many great musicians coming out of that area, and unfortunate that he passed. But 77, a good age when you've rocked as much as he has.
That's a good way to put it. He rocked. We'll talk about a couple things this hour. First, I want to get this Florida man in New York story. Just I want to clear this mm-hmm. out here. Before it gets by me, 25-year-old Florida man. You know, that Florida man is now, it's weird because I keep waiting for Florida man. You and I started Florida man talk, I gotta say, we'll plant our flag here, well before it became a thing or a hashtag.
Yeah, it's been like 5 years. We've been talking about Florida man.
We would often talk about why is it this high density of these kind of stories. We've had our theories about why Florida produces these stories, some runner-ups to Florida. Oregon and Washington State have been showing up pretty strong.
Pennsylvania's bad, too.
Pennsylvania's shown up strong, too. There's certain states that produce these stories, but none like the champion, the legacy, building that tradition there in Florida.
And you said this guy is 25. I'd say that Florida man 18 to 25 range, probably the most dangerous Florida man.
Absolutely. If you're going to profile, dude in Florida with jeans on but no shirt. Between 18 and 25.
And jean shorts, oh my.
Or some jorts, yes. If he has jorts on and no shirt, chances are he's up to something. Okay, so this story from the Associated Press says 25-year-old Florida man is jailed in upstate New York after police say he crashed a stolen car.
Hmm.
Okay, and was found naked in a chicken coop.
Oh, no.
After a 7-hour manhunt. State police say John Main of Sarasota, Florida, faces numerous charges, including criminal possession of stolen property and for crashing the Audi A5, reportedly stolen in Florida. And then he drove it to New York. And also they got him for cruelty to animals for killing a dog and some chickens
while
he was there in the chicken coop. Police say Maine crashed the Audi on Interstate 81 about 3 miles north of the Pennsylvania line on Tuesday morning. Pennsylvania almost in this story. He crashed the vehicle, rode a passing pickup truck for a mile, and then he ran off into the woods. Police say he stopped at several homes. He killed a dog at one and attacked chickens at two others.
Wow.
Before he was holed up in the chicken coop when state police found him.
When you said cruelty to animals, I thought that was just the charge for him being naked in the chicken coop, like that they had to live through that. But he actually killed some animals here.
Yeah, and I can't, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they don't have these details in the story, but he is naked in the chicken coop. He's running through the woods. Just going to, out on a limb here, I may be wrong, drugs.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, it's people talk about, you know, let's, once again, I'm pro-liberty. And people having choices on what they put in their body. But I'm also here to tell you, none of it's good. none of it leads to great decisions.
No.
I mean, kids, listen, you're out of school, you've got some extra time. Don't be that dude who is arrested naked in a chicken coop. Okay? Just don't. That should be all you need to know. Where does that end up? It ends up with you naked in a chicken coop.
Unfortunately, he is the Florida man that all other Florida men aspire to be. This is a perfect Florida man story.
All right. Also, in international front, following the story about U.S. and Russian warships nearly colliding out there, you know, we've got the additional sailors and ships in the Persian Gulf, right, mm-hmm. deployed there, and have been worried about that kind of proxy battle that could break out between the Saudis getting hit from the Iranian or the Houthi rebels that they back and us being there. But this is straight up U.S. and Russian warship, and this is also in addition to the fact that the Russians have been flying missions with bombers and stuff very close to U.S. You know, they're testing how close they can get before we, see that they're there. And all that. This has been going on years.
Yeah.
And this was going on during the Obama administration, too. The Russians were flying very close to U.S. airspace, mm-hmm. and they've had several close calls there. And now it's going on the seas.
Yeah, it seemed like they cut it out there for a little bit, too, there at the beginning of the president's presidency back in 2016, 2017.
But I thought that Putin and Trump were best buddies, right?
No, not anymore, it turns out. Actually, funny you mentioned best buddies, because Putin has been meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping lately, and they used the word, or President Xi Jinping used the word best friends to describe he and Putin's relationship and how close they are. I know Xi said that he's visited with Putin more than any other leader, and he's been to Russia more than any other place he's
been.
That
should worry the snot out of you.
Yeah, it does me. He said they have a deep personal friendship. He said, in the past 6 years, we've met nearly 30 times. Russia is the country that I've visited the most times, and President Putin is my best friend and colleague.
Oh, wow.
And Putin echoed that same sentiment. He said he was pleased to say that Russian-Chinese relations have reached an unprecedented level. It's a global partnership and strategic cooperation. So some scary news coming out of the meeting with Russia and China. I know as the U.S. and as the president tries to kind of balance out the trade with China and also keep Russia at arm's length while also making sure we don't, you know, enter into a massive war with them, these two countries getting closer together, some scary stuff.
You know, we've never been, it's odd, you know, we have never been in a direct conflict with either, I mean, obviously Cold War, obviously proxy wars, but we've never been in direct conflict with either Russia or China.
Mm-hmm.
Russia's been our ally, you know. I mean, yesterday, thinking about D-Day, and remember, that was launching the second front in World War II. The Russians had long since been fighting the Germans on the Eastern Front. But the Chinese and the Russians have gone to war.
Yeah.
In the past, and now they're going to be good buddies. What do they hang out and say, how many dissidents have you locked up this week? I'll
yeah.
tell you, give me another beer. I'll tell you how many dissidents. This person disagreed with me, and I poisoned them with plutonium. Oh, you're crazy, Putin.
Let me tell you about my human rights violations. Yeah, those are the discussions they have.
Wow.
And, you know, they share a long part of border up there, and yeah. Russia needs China more than China needs Russia. They got some stats here from the BBC. China is Russia's top trading partner, while Russia is China's 10th largest trading partner. And if you're wondering what they're trading the most of, it says the majority of Russian exports to China are raw materials, including energy-related products, and then most of the Chinese exports to Russia are equipment, machinery, and consumer goods. And then they have that Power of Siberia pipeline that connects Russia to China, and they're going to complete that this year, reportedly valued at $400 billion. So they're getting closer and closer.
And speaking of close, like we said, U.S. Navy says one of its warships was forced to maneuver to avoid collision with a Russian destroyer in the Philippine Sea. It sounds like the Russian destroyer was kind of bullying on the seas. USS Chancellorsville, a guided missile cruiser, nearly collided with the Udaloy IDD-572 when it made what they call a unsafe maneuver, coming within 50 to 100 feet, according to the Navy's 7th Fleet in a statement. Now, think about the size of these battleships, between 50 and 100 feet. I mean, I know today's battleships are not yesterday's, but you make the old joke, you know, turning a battleship around.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy thing to do. I know they maneuver better now, but still, you're gigantic ships, and you're within 50 or 100 feet. Well, I mean, what would happen if they collided? Incident happened, they said, 11:45 a.m. Friday. So you got to think about the dateline in the Philippine Sea. So today, but there today, when it was still yesterday here. Russian state media had claimed the U.S. cruiser had hindered the passage of the Admiral Vinodograf anti-submarine destroyer about 160 feet in front of it, forcing them to perform a dangerous maneuver in the southeastern part of the East China Sea. But the U.S. dismissed their version of the events as propaganda. It's the second time in 3 days the U.S. Navy has accused Russian forces of dangerous maneuvers after a Russian fighter jet flew dangerously close to a Navy reconnaissance aircraft in the eastern Mediterranean. The near collision between American-Russian warships comes days after Russian President Vladimir Putin hung out with his buddy there in China, like Dalton just said. So this idea that everything's warm and cozy between the Russians and the United States, I don't know. It's somebody looks like spoiling for, I guess they're spoiling for a fight.
Yeah, and I guess
hope not.
The thing I'm most worried about is with tensions so high right now, if something does happen, even if they're just trying to spook the Americans or vice versa, which it sounds much more like Russians are normally trying to get the Americans off their game by coming close, but if they were, let's say those battleships did hit each other with how high tensions are, you never know what can happen if Putin gets really upset or if Trump gets upset here in America. And then you don't want anything to pop off because of a misunderstanding out there in the sea.
Like pop off vodka?
Like pop off vodka. So, tension's so high and scary with Russia and China getting so close together. But they've got to stop these military things going on out
there. That's for sure. All right, coming right back. We've got a little more on the story, and we'll talk to you. Get your calls at 343-0106. Dalton has stumbled upon a story that says today's fathers don't have the DIY skills of their dads and granddads.
More millennials making the rest of us millennials look bad. I've got a bad, bad story.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I done said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. But I must use the wrong call.
All right, 824 FM Talk 106.5, and it's Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Sean Dalton, I'd love to talk to you at 343-0106. By the way, Byron Day from over at Fox 10, he wins my Cool Dude of the Day award. Because on Twitter, I put up a picture with National Donut Day. Mm-hmm. We were talking about, I put up a picture of these two guys, and first person that tweeted me back who knew who they were, because he just said, hey, take off, you hoser. And so he realizes who those guys are. So if you think of donuts and beer, Doug and Bob McKenzie, Strange Brew. Have you seen that movie yet?
Still haven't.
Okay.
I think that was my homework assignment about 2 years ago.
You got to go see that movie.
I've got to get on that.
Because 74 to 75% of the things I say are referenced to Fast Times at Ridgemont High or Strange Brew. Those two movies. All right. Couple things here. Number one, if you've not gotten registered yet in the Big Green Deal, your time is slipping through the hands of slipping like sand through the hourglass, as you have just, about another 3 weeks here?
Yeah, you've got till just before Independence Day next month. But the longer you wait, the less your odds become.
Because you can only register once per day at participating sponsors.
So we have 7 participating sponsors. If you feel like it, you can drive around to each of those sponsors every single day and put your name in the entry box, which is plainly visible in all these places. So if you did it every day, you could have up to 7 entries every single day leading up until when we make that drawing before Independence Day. The longer you wait, obviously, the less your chances become. But, I mean, talk about a great deal. Outdoor HD TV with the sound system all installed, extra large Big Green Egg, Adirondack chairs and table set, a custom-made granite-topped outdoor cart for that Big Green Egg, stand-up paddleboard, a 2-week golf cart rental, and a week-long vacation at Johnny's Premier RV Resort. All of that in one giveaway package. One person wins all of that. It's valued at over $9,000. The Big Green Deal, you can find out more on our website, fmtalk1065.com, and on fmtalk1065's Facebook page.
Yeah, you go to Bailey's TV, Cart Doctor, Delta Stone, Gulf Coast Tools, Johnny's Premier RV, Old Time Feed, Yellowhammer Kayak, and we're going to be at about half of those places next week with Midday Mobile doing live shows. Plus, we're live back at the Battleship on Wednesday. Speaking of which, National Donut Day, they are giving away with Salvation Army donuts. Started at 8 this morning, goes till noon. So you stop by the Battleship, grab some donuts there. All right, Dalton, this story you mentioned to me during the news break. Y'all listen to this. Some stats out here about millennials and DIY.
Yeah, so there's this company, Alarm.com, who did a poll. And it's a pretty good poll. We've seen some bad polls around here. But they had a poll of 1,000 millennial dads and 1,000 baby boomer dads to see how they stack up when it comes to DIY skills, specifically with handling, you know, around the house emergencies and on the road emergencies. And they asked each of these groups, the 1,000 millennial dads and the 1,000 baby boomer dads, how many of them could change a car wheel at the side of the road. So you got a flat, something happens with one of your wheels, you need to get out and change it. What percentage? I'll say 79% of the baby boomer dads say they can change a car wheel on the side of the road. What percentage of millennial
How many
dads,
for baby boomer?
79%.
That's not higher? Okay.
The 21% probably live in some major metropolis or something like that. So how many millennials do you think?
So if it's 79% of baby boomers, I wonder what Gen Xers, my people, do. But millennials, if it's 72%.
63%. Only 6 out of 10 millennials, millennial dads, can change it. So if they're traveling with the family to the beach or something like that.
What do you do?
I guess they call AAA. They just wait on the side of the road.
Okay.
Just wait. All right. So how many do you think can reset a tripped circuit breaker? 85% of baby boomer dads can reset a tripped circuit breaker.
I'm still baffled by the 15% that can't. Okay. If it's 85% of baby boomers, then it's going to be 75% of millennials.
Just about half. 54% of millennial dads know how to reset.
You mean just to flip the breaker?
Flip. That's it. Only half.
We are hosed.
We are
in trouble going forward.
63% of millennial dads know how to jumpstart a dead car battery.
So wait a second. So 47% don't.
Yeah, 37%.
37%. Math was not my forte.
If they start to crank the car and they hear and it's not cranking over,
does this mean they don't have cables or they don't have a jump box, or it just means they don't know how to do it?
I would imagine they've never put the thought into being prepared for jump starting a car battery. They probably don't have any of the cables, and even if they did,
63% can.
Yeah, 63% can. 86% of the boomer dads can do that. How many? And this might be the most embarrassing. What percentage of the millennial dads can unblock a toilet or a sink?
Well, sink can be troublesome, but toilet. At this point, I was going to go higher, but the way this has been, 65%.
Wow, ding ding. Yeah, that's perfect. 65%. Can unblock a toilet or a sink.
So if there's, if there's a blockage there, the others call the plumber because the toilet.
They call handyman for everything. They don't fix anything themselves. 86%, and I say they. I'm a millennial,
but you're not like that.
Yeah, I'd be in the minority for most of these. This one, I guess I wouldn't know how because I've never had a furnace. But restart a stopped furnace. Only 38% of millennial men. But you know, I say I wouldn't know how. I would figure out how if I had a furnace that I was worried about keeping it running.
And you know what? It's easier. I'm going to argue this. It's easier now to know how to do. There are more things that I've learned how to do. Now, in my house, I learned all the stuff we listed and a whole bunch more because we never called anybody, Dalton. We fixed everything.
Yep.
Sprinklers, air conditioning, we fixed it. Dad, no, we fixed everything. And I'm saying this would be Saturday morning. I'd want to go do something else. And no. We had projects. We learned all these things because we never call anybody, y'all. We fixed everything.
Your childhood was an apprenticeship. Learning how to fix everything around the house.
My dad is a jack of all trades. And I mean, he made sure that that's what we were doing on Saturday mornings. But I would argue going forward, there's projects that I take on that I wouldn't have back then. You know why? Because of YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of the engine work I do on my own. There's a lot of things. We have the most fickle dryer and washing machine. We got the Bosch ones years ago because it's the best thing ever or whatever. But they take a lot of maintenance like a sports car. I wouldn't have been able to, but I can go to YouTube and I'm a good monkey. I can do what the person's doing on there and fix it. So I would argue that millennials have more advantages for DIY because they can hit up a video and what?
And part of it, they don't have any of the tools. I'll tell you the percentages of millennials that don't own hammers when we get back.
All right. Oh my gosh.
AM 836 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on a Friday. We made it. And right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive, talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton, I think you might need to get into the boat business instead of automobiles these days.
That's right. Lots of rain over the weekend. According to Dr. Bill, we're going to have a very rainy weekend. So why not check out McConnellAutomotive.com so that you're prepared once you make it up to the lot at McConnell Automotive. Tell us about the website, Mitch.
Well, I think a lot of people like to avoid car dealers, Dalton. I think anybody out there that heard what I said just said amen. But I think one reason is, you know, salespeople, and we're just well known for having a real relaxed experience and no pushy salespeople. But, you know, one great way to do it is just go to our website. And like you said, with this bad weather, and one of my favorite tabs on our website, Dalton, is our demo tab. And we've got family members and managers, even people up at the University of Alabama that we give vehicles to, Denalis, AT4 pickup trucks. So these are brand new cars, Dalton, that people can go to our website and check out the savings and their additional savings. And they're vehicles that our competitors just don't have, 3,000 or 4,000 miles on them, and you get some huge savings. And you know, anything anybody wants on our website, we just go ahead and pre-negotiate discounts so to save people the hassle. So check out the Buicks that are 16% off. Find some vehicles with 0%. And, man, we have a huge selection of these new AT4 trucks, man, different colors. I think most people only have one or two. I think we got 8 or 9. So McConnellAutomotive.com. And I just think people will be just thrilled at the experience, Dalton, how easy it is to save money and time. They'll shop our website, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Mitch.
Everybody stay dry. Stay safe.
That's Mitch McConnell. Make sure you go see him and the crew. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
Okay, so I've been on the edge of my in-studio office chair here since we went to the news break, because if you missed out, if you're just joining us, Dalton's rolling out some statistics here on baby boomers versus millennials on basic DIY tasks. We went through jumping a dead battery, changing a tire, throwing the breaker.
Unclogging a toilet.
Unclogging toilets.
They're just in trouble if any of these things happen, and I would be embarrassed, like especially now that I'm a dad. If something goes wrong, you want to be able to fix it for your family, right? You want to take care of it, and it helps on the wallet
instead of
calling somebody every time something. I understand there's some things that go wrong.
Yes, you'll save money for the thing that you can't. Or sometimes as repair folks who come to my house, I'll say, I've been fixing this thing for 2 weeks and now it's really broken. Can you fix it?
I've broken it more.
Yes.
And so I was giving you some of the stats on the things that millennial dads can't do. There were a couple more. 62% of millennial dads cannot repair a flat tire on their children's bike. If their child has a flat tire riding around the neighborhood.
Well, how bad's the flat? See, this is the problem. Is I can't ever listen to these stories because I'm always into the nuance of it. Like is it completely ripped open? I mean, because you have a plug kit if it's a small hole, or heck, and I would go back to arguing that you got it better than ever because you can get, now you don't have to patch it like you used to. You can get that slime stuff and put it in there. And
well, if it's too bad, the answer is Walmart. You just go
get a new tire
for about 15, 20 bucks. I don't know how much kids' tires cost nowadays. 59% of millennial dads cannot open a stuck pickle jar using only their hands, which...
depends on how stuck it is.
Yeah, when I originally saw that, I thought it was just open a stuck pickle jar. And the answer is you pop the top with a knife to break that seal real good. And if your hands are too sweaty or something to open it, you get something with a little grip. And then if you can't open it, that's your problem.
Yeah,
at that point.
We always had the persuader in the house growing up. We don't have one now, but it was, I'm sure my parents still have it anyway, like a rubber circle.
That's what you
put that baby on there, that's like putting a pry bar on something, man. It just gets it done.
And that spoiled me, because I would go right for the grip thing before I would even try to open the pickle jar. But a reason that so many of these millennial dads can't fix things probably has to do with the amount of tools that they have in their homes. Many millennial dads report not owning a cordless drill. 46% of millennial dads do not own a cordless drill. 49% of millennial dads don't own a stepladder. I guess they're all 8 feet tall, able to change the light bulbs.
They don't have a ladder of any...
They don't have any kind of ladder. 51%.
We're running 1, 2, 3. Well, the other one's not at the house. 4, if you, one that we have on loans. Mm-hmm. So we have three at the house right now.
So I've got
ladders of different height.
I've got two. I'm a 2-year homeowner now. We've got two step ladders. So you're saying you're 20 years older than me. So mm-hmm. I'll gather a step ladder.
Sure,
each
you'll
10
probably
years.
Be ahead of me. You'll probably be ahead of me by the time you're my age. Yes,
38% of millennial dads own a set of screwdrivers. That means that
the rest of them do not.
62% do not own a set of screwdrivers. 32%
How do you do anything.
32% of millennial dads don't own a hammer.
What?
Which that is the I think when I was 3 or 4 years old I got my first hammer. That's like one of the first tools you buy a kid, right? A hammer.
Why they don't have a hammer. You can go to get a cheap set of tools. I mean, you know, I would rather them get the good stuff and have a good set of tools that'll last them their own life. Am I sounding like a dad? I get a quality set that's going to last you your whole life and you'll take
American
care of it.
American made.
Right. But they can go for like the cost of a latte mocha or something like that and get one of those that's in a little plastic box with some tools.
So the people that did this poll, they have some reasoning for why millennial dads are so much worse than boomer dads at taking care of things around the house. They said the technology in the average home has evolved. High-tech upgrades like smart home technology require professional support, especially safety and security upgrades. Even the handiest dads see the value of... So this is Alarms.com doing their spiel here of trying to get you to sign up with them. But most of these don't involve technology. We're talking hammers, screwdrivers, changing tires, unclogging sinks. It's just embarrassing to be millennial sometimes.
No matter how many things in short term that we have that are Bluetooth or, you know, wired in, or there's still some things you can't Bluetooth in to jump the dead battery.
Mm-hmm.
You can't can't use the Bluetooth to fix the car tire.
Yeah, there's no app for a flat tire on your kid's bike.
I love technology in these things. I wonder where, because this is weird, this is boomers versus millennials, and those of us that are Gen Xers that are in the middle of this.
It's got to be even higher than the boomer dads.
Well, I don't know. No, the boomer dads could probably, because we all learned from our boomer dads, Gen X folks. But I will say that we are in a weird place, though, that we can fix two different types. I was telling you a story even before you brought this up. Right, I'm on call 24/7 for this radio station. I'm also on call 24/7 for my parents with anything that is a computer in their house. And my dad, who can fix just about, like I said, that was Saturday mornings at our house. I mean, we're not calling somebody to fix it, we're fixing it. So that's how we learn stuff. I mean, that's probably how I ended up like I am, inhaling all that PVC pipe cement, fixing all those sprinklers all those years. On computer stuff, this man who can fix, I'm sure he could do it. He just has zero desire. He just says, it's not working.
Yep.
Well, Dad, did you try that? I'm not trying that. It's not working. So I think Gen Xers were in this, where millennials are way more savvy even. I mean, you help me every day with stuff. And boomers are on the other side where they don't want any part of it. Gen Xers, we have tech skills, and then we have some, you know, throwback, like hammer skills, cordless drill skills.
And I come to you for advice all the time about my house. I say, hey, this is going on at my house, but that's exactly where it stops. I haven't had you come over and fix it for
me yet.
But you'll give me some advice, and I'll say, okay, I'll go try to fix that. Or I'll call my dad, and he'll say, yes, this is what I would do here. And then once I fix it, then I know how to do it.
And that's why, and you know, Dan had said after I talked about YouTube, Dan had said on the text line to YouTube University, it's really true. I mean, there's the things I learned growing up in the house, you know, how to fix these things. But then there are projects that I, you know, we never had to fix a Bosch clothes washer, you know, growing up. So I have, and like I said, these things, it's constant fixing this thing. And so, but with YouTube, I'm serious. YouTube is just an amazing deal. I mean, you say, well, I've never changed the front diff oil and this kind of, you know, this kind of ATV. There's a YouTube video, and you can pause it and do all that stuff. So I would argue the technology of today should make people even handier in DIY. I talk about it all the time on home projects. You go to Danny Lipford's website for today's homeowner.
For everything.
Right. So you say, I'm trying to do a such and such, and there's a video. It may be from the last 6 months. It might be 12 years old, but there's a video on it. So I think in today's world, you take a basic set of skills, but I think we have a better advantage for DIY today than we did 10, 20 years ago.
I 100% agree. And if you're missing a part, or if you break something while you're fixing it up, you used to have to go around town and look for that specific part in all the hardware stores, and then if they don't have it in any of the stores, well, then I guess you're SOL at the time. But now you can go online, search for the product number, and it'll be at your home in 2 days, and then you can get back to fixing things. Lots of theories coming in on why millennial dads are so bad at fixing things around the house. Celeste says the millennials are calling dad to come fix their cars and home problems, and they do it for them. That's why dads need to teach the kids how to do it themselves.
But that's, or you just get utilized as child labor. those child labor laws did not apply at my house growing up. But like I said, Saturday mornings, I'd be like, oh, man, my buddies, we're going to go fishing. We're going to do this. No. We're digging up the entire sprinkler system and rebuilding it. Let's go to Brandon in Fairhope before the news here. Brandon.
You guys couldn't be more accurate. Everything that you're talking about as far as, you know, young people knowing how to do things, you know. But I know a lot of people that don't know how to change a battery or like a simple radiator hose or maybe a tire. It's just crazy, man, because, I mean, who's going to take care of these people and help these people when their parents are here? That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, you know? But do you're following what I'm saying, too, though. I say that you have it better off. You're better off now than you've ever been for DIY because of, I know there are other sites, but like Danny Linford's site or YouTube, you can be this thing that you'd never worked on before. There's a video probably online showing you how to break it down and put it back together.
Exactly.
I mean, and I appreciate the call, but I mean, I would argue that the golden days of DIY are now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back when I was a kid, we had to not know stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we had to just like, I don't know, your buddies, you'd be sitting around, somebody'd ask a question, and be like, I don't know, you know? No, oh well. Or somebody just make something up. Now, you hit up Google and you know the answer to the question, or you know how to, how do I drain the, you know, the oil from this vehicle or change front diff or whatever. There's a video for that, so I would argue that it's better off than ever.
Yeah, howto.com, one of my favorites.
I haven't even been there. I have to do that this weekend. Coming right back. Shot this one. Hey, thank you, Kane. Oh, yeah, this is great, Ben. Great. I'm looking at his video. This is Mobile Mornings FM Talk 106.5. Talking about these stats that Dalton just rolled out about millennials and their lack of tools or ability to fix things. But I would argue that the millennials that I hang out with great routine, like the man right across the table from me, Dalton, and our buddy Ben and all that, they fix stuff quite a bit. And this is a washer, seal, and bearings project that Ben's working on. But so Ben's sent me a link from online to the thing he's using. That's what I'm talking about. I would say that it's overly simplifying it, which I know everybody loves to do, that, oh, they just don't. I would argue that it's even worse because millennials have more tools, pun intended, to be able to figure things out now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I use them. I'm Gen Xer and I use them. I mean, there's the things. Okay, the things I was forced to learn on Saturday mornings with Dad. Okay, that's one set of education. But just like anything, there's the education that you're kind of forced to learn. And then there's the education you get when you want to accomplish something. Okay. You want to learn about this subject or you want to fix something, right? I mean, if somebody said, Sean, you can go to a course, and I go to some continuing education kind of stuff. I got my federal drone certification last year, year before last. I like learning. And but now that I've, you know, gone through school and gotten my sheepskin there, I go learn the things that I'm really interested in. Well, on the flip side, I'm not really interested in, you know, replacing parts of the Bosch system washer and dryer,
right?
But I want it fixed. And so then I'm engaged in learning it. If I just had to learn it to learn it, and I can go somewhere online and learn how it's done, I think you're better off than ever now. Somebody, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I've put a lot of thought into this, and there's, you know, they talk about the rising rates of depression and anxiety among millennials, the younger people that really haven't gone through war or gone through any really tough times that so many people out there have gone through. People are wondering why their depression rates are so high. And there's something that gives you peace of mind about working with your hands.
Yep.
Or fixing something that you can look at once you've fixed it and say, I fixed that.
Yep.
It wasn't working. Now it's working. Instead, they're sitting on the couch thinking about being no good at anything. But once you just get started on a project, it does a lot for your peace of mind, I think.
Well, I could not agree more.
I mean, you cuss a lot and you throw things while you're fixing it, but mm-hmm. afterwards you feel better.
And, you know, like I said, there's some of the things that I, you know, do a lot of fixing on that I end up having to call somebody to really fix it for me. But there's a lot of things, I'd say 75% of the time, you can knock out, watch a video, and see how to do it. It's so true, and you know my personal life. When I leave here, the things I do, because the broadcast business is never finished. Radio's 24/7. It's always next, 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 next. That the things I'm drawn to, that I work with my hands on when I'm away from here, are things that at least I can finish that task, and mm-hmm. I take great peace from that. Great peace from it. A lot of great text here too. Now, Keith. Keith says, Sean, the problem is everybody was told to go to college, get a good job, and pay other poor guys to fix your stuff. Not my house, Keith. My house, it was Sean, go to college, and then it was, which I did that part, and then they said, go on to get a master's or doctorate, which I did not do, and then fix the stuff yourself. That's the kind of household I came out of. My parents, you know, educated and successful, but you fixed it yourself. it would be nice to... It would be nice to have the other part, but no, it was, do good in school and learn how to fix all this stuff as well.
Omar sounds like he's in the same boat that you are, like you described earlier. He said, my dad's a retired Marine. He taught us how to change oil, brakes, fix small electrical, etc. I don't do the majority of the stuff due to everything requiring something a computer has to calibrate. He's right about
sure.
a lot of that.
Yeah.
But he said, now my dad calls me to fix all his computer issues. I'm 37, so I taught my children how to work on software issues, so they help him open his email up. So, you know, a bit of a hybrid there.
Omar, I'm the same way, right? So I'm a Gen Xer in the middle of this, that I have... Not the tech skills, not the inherent tech skills of a millennial, but I have the baby boomers DIY hand tool thing. So I'm called on both.
Yeah.
Fixing stuff that takes tools,
man.
Yes, and then fixing, you know, technology issues. Let's see a whole bunch of texts coming in here. Somebody was talking about manual transmissions. Yeah, well, I don't think I'd do a full transmission job. Oh, you're talking about just driving a manual transmission. Yeah, that's the thing that's gone away. Like you said, Doug said, suggesting to my dad to call a repairman was tantamount to slapping him in the face. Doug, we had the same dad. Like, hey, Dad, why don't we, you know, I want to go do something. But no, we're fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dad, this is a big, we're fixing it. Jim says, I think you're right, Sean. Us Gen Xers are total hybrids for DIY and tech. Being a heavy equipment mechanic and a hobby farmer, if I don't have the tool I need, which is unlikely, I'll make it. Okay, now I'm impressed. Tooling my own stuff I do some kind of basic, you know, bend a screwdriver, you know, put the torch on it and make my own. But he said, listen to this. Jim in Georgetown is so cool. He said, if I don't have the tool I need, unlikely I'll make it. Also, completely remodeled two houses. Nowadays, if I can't do it, I would rather pay someone to do the things I don't want to do anymore. I'm 53, by the way. Yeah, there's some things that you don't want to do, but, yeah, and somebody said the problem is most millennials, not all of them are lazy. I don't think they're all... No, I don't think this idea, it's so simplistic to say all millennials are lazy. Listen, the millennials I deal with every day are harder working than any Gen Xers I know. Maybe they just don't feel the motivation to do the thing. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's a movement afoot.
Maybe,
you know,
no
maybe
confidence.
I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll try to figure that out over the weekend.
You going to fix some things this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, I probably have some things that I got to go break. Although I got to go get the youngest child from camp up near Cheehaw Mountain. So if you follow me on my Instagram or my Twitter, I'll be putting some pictures up from the highest point in Alabama tonight. I'll hike up to the highest point in Alabama in the middle of a thunderstorm, I'm sure. Take some pictures. So y'all check that out. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next.